This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I think in this moment, honestly, since the moment Bundesliga started, since the moment the Portuguese league, the Spanish league, they announced the date to start, I think is the most difficult moment for us because we want to play. It's hard to see. It's hard to see other countries playing football, and we don't do it. I always loved, and I always try to make my players love the Christmas period, where instead of being sad, we were always happy to give people what people loves in a period where nobody was playing football. In this moment, I'm feeling, and we are feeling a little bit the opposite. German professionals are giving the world something that they love, and we are not. So we want to play, but of course we are respectful of the authorities. We trust what the authorities and the Premier League work, and we have just to wait for the decision. But when they say is the moment to start, we want very, very much to do it.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
That was Jose Mourinho. He says the resumption of the Bundesliga has increased his players' desire to return to action. Yes, welcome to On The Ball. Actually, it's the last one for this season on Friday. Boo! Don't worry. We'll be around. It's still On The Ball in isolation with me, Ross. And the good thing about being in isolation is we get to catch up with guests from all over the place. Joining us tonight, all the way from Singapore, fresh from working on Der Klassiker in midweek, is Rhys Roshan-Roy. Roshan, hello.
Hey, Ross. Thanks for having me on. Great to be on, and I'm really looking forward to talking about the Bundesliga.
Great to have you on. And coming from deepest, darkest PJ, my next two guests are Des Corkill is here. Hello, Des.
Always a pleasure to be here, Ross. And yeah, I'm delighted the football's back, but I hate the piped-in sound.
Setting the tone already. Also from deepest, darkest PJ, we have Bob Holmes. Hello, Bob.
And I thought the piped-in sound was an improvement. So look forward to the conversation. Good
As
to be
usual,
here.
Guys, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on social media. It's BFM Football on Instagram and on Facebook as well. So let's start with the big news of the week then. Premier League clubs have unanimously voted to resume contact training. So Project Restart, Bob Holmes, is moving into phase two. And that's good news, right?
It is. It's been a glacial pace. But then they're doing better than the government, aren't they? They actually managed to get a unanimous vote, which is quite something when you consider the opposition to neutral venues and all that. So that steadily they are getting there. You sense the momentum is now fairly unstoppable, that they will restart. My worry is whether they'll finish, because I can see with this government and the U-turns that there could be another spike, and then what do they do? Because we've got to go through another 6 weeks. It's going to take a minimum of 6 weeks to get this done, and a lot can happen in 6 weeks, as we know. So that's my worry. I think they will. It looks odds on that they will start, but whether they finish is the question.
And Roshan, it's because of the Bundesliga. It's whetted the appetites of the Premier League players, hasn't it?
It certainly has. I can just imagine them, you know, wanting to get back out on the pitch, wanting to get back into training at the very least, and wanting to play some football. Of course, you've got the likes of Troy Deeney, and individually there will be certain players who feel that they're not quite ready to get back into it because of whatever reasons that they have. But I think the majority of players understand that it's probably a safer situation that they are in at the moment. All the precautions will be taken for them to restart training and restart matches, perhaps, because let's be honest, if it wasn't safe enough, I don't think they'd be pushing this through as soon as they have.
Yeah. Des, the third phase of Project Restart includes full contact training. It is the actual build-up to competitive games. So by the sounds of it, we're not far away.
Hallelujah. being a slight COVID skeptic, you're not allowed to say that though. But I just the overreaction to everything that's been going on has astonished me. I've looked on with a jaundiced eye, and I just can't wait to get back to football and some kind of normality. And sport's a very important part of society and humanity. What does concern me, and I've said this before on BFM and on any opportunity I have, is everyone's focused on the top end of the game, the very top, the elite. Nobody is addressing what's going on in the grassroots. Nobody is really saying, hey, there's 40 or 50 teams in the United Kingdom that could be going bust, and they are largely community teams. And so I just really pray that sport isn't wiped, professional sports isn't wiped from the map by this COVID phenomenon.
Only Des Corkill can actually rain on our parade. I mean, we're all so happy at the start of the show. All right, let's talk about the football action that we have seen. Coming to you first, Roshan, Der Klassiker was the big one in Germany this midweek. You worked on it. We all watched you. What a game. Bayern showed truly they are champions, right?
No, they certainly did. Listen, I thought it was a really good game of football, very tactical. And normally when someone says tactical, it means boring. But I didn't think it was the case at all. I mean, when you look at that match, when you think of how good these two sides actually are, how good their coaches are, their respective coaches are, and what sort of quality they displayed on the pitch. I think, you know, when we look at matches, there are all sorts of different ways to look at it. You can look at it with a coach's hat on. You can look at it from a fan's perspective. You can look at it from a neutral's perspective. And perhaps for the neutral, they might argue it wasn't very exciting, not too many clear-cut opportunities for either side. But when I look at it from a perspective of pundit, of an analyst, I actually saw lots of really wonderful things.
All right, let's go to Bob first. Bob, fan's point of view. I thought it was a great ad for an empty stadium type football game. In the first 40 seconds, we had one cleared off the line, didn't we?
Yeah, I thought it was. I'm a skeptic on behind closed doors football. I wasn't impressed at all by the first game we saw, the South Korean game 3 weeks ago. I was a little bit more impressed by Dortmund and Schalke, but not far from convinced. But this one, this tipped me the other way. I think there is a future for behind closed doors football. Hopefully it's not too long, too big a future, just a few weeks. But yes, I think it's doable. I think it's watchable. And I think this was a pretty good game. Had there been 80,000 people there, I think it would have been even better. But I do think, and I disagree with Des here, I do think that sound helped, because I don't know if I'm imagining this, but I felt that the camera stayed away from the empty seats. It seemed to be just on the pitch. I mean, obviously, it's on the pitch most of the time anyway. Even more so in this game, it almost seemed as if they were avoiding showing the empty stands. And then when you're watching from a distance here and you're hearing that sound, it is the sound of a football crowd. And it wasn't that bad. It wasn't totally out of sync.
No.
I mean, they're perfecting this. They're going to get this down to a fine art. And I think it's acceptable. As a temporary solution, not for heaven's sake, not the future of the game, never. But I think we are adjusting to this crisis, and this is how human beings overcome it. Gradually, in stages, they don't get everything right, but I think it's a work in progress, and I think they're getting there. And this was a big step forward for me.
Agreed.
Bob, you saw my thunder there a little bit on the television technical side of the stuff. It was beautifully shot. The camera angles were tighter Not by much, but close enough so that your first action shot was very much on the pitch. There's normally a lot of headroom allowed covering live football, and they've just tightened it a little bit. And it wasn't only in the Bayern Munich game, it was in most of the German games. And that's television adapting to it. So that's one very good thing. One thing I also want to say, I'm a big fan of what Reece Rossenwright does down with the Bundesliga. He takes it incredibly seriously, brings an awful lot of education to what we're getting in Southeast Asia. So a big thumbs up to Rosh. Delighted to have you on the show. But the German technical side was really good. And I thought the game was intense. I thought it was a really good game of football.
Yeah.
Intense. You don't need a crowd piped in to help you with the intensity. Good players will play intense football. And the league title was virtually on the line with that game. If Dortmund won, the season was still wide open. If they lost, then, oh dear. The stadiums will be empty anyway for the rest of the season.
So, no, but it was a great game.
I just thought it was a wonderful game.
You know it's a good game when the first half just whizzes and then you see Roshan coming up at halftime going, hello! And you go, what do you mean it's over? But Roshan, do you reckon, let's go to the gameplay here. It was Berkey's fault, right? The goalie. Come on. Come on!
A little bit. I prefer to sort of veer away from whose fault it was and sort of look at the overall picture of it. And I think the reason why Berkey was as far off his line as he was is because I don't think he was actually expecting Kimmich to come up with a chip like that from that far out. I think he wanted to come out. He wanted to close off the angles for a drive from distance. But Kimmich came out to say that that was something that the coaches had told the players about, saying that Berkey loves to come off his line. So look for those situations. And I think knowing about it is one thing, but having the technical quality to actually then carry that out is a whole other matter. And Kimmich has been absolutely outstanding for Bayern Munich over the last few seasons or so, playing at right back, playing in central midfield. Yeah. And also when you look back at that goal, when you look at how they initiated that press very quickly to win the ball back after initially losing it and then creating a chance at the edge of the box, it was outstanding play from Bayern and a real sign of, you know, how they sort of changed their game plan under Hansi Flick.
Bob, the way Dortmund are set up, I mean, as an impartial observer, they're probably the most exciting go-to team. I mean, you've got all your young players, your Haalands, you've got England's Jadon Sancho. They've got strength in depth and they're great fun, aren't they, Bob?
Yes, I wouldn't say I was an entirely impartial observer on that. I would always lean towards Dortmund. But those two you mentioned, they're superstars. They didn't show up, did they? I mean, Sancho only played half a game, but now we know why he's been used so sparingly. The previous couple of games, he only came on as a late sub. At least he came on for the second half here. But he was not fit. He was not match fit anyway, was he? I mean, he did very, very little. I mean, you would have thought that a guy with his skills could have turned that game. And Haaland also was a disappointment. I mean, I think he was robbed of a penalty. I think that shot, the commentator at first said that questioned whether it was on target. When we saw the replay, it clearly was on target. It hit Boateng's elbow. And why VAR and VAR? Wow, we're getting back to normal here. We're talking about VAR. Don't get Des started, though. I mean, that was a penalty. And I thought Bayern should have had one at the other end, at the end, by the way. But it could have gone either way. And I think had the two big guns of Dortmund, Haaland and Sancho, been anywhere near their best, I think they could have swung it. Yeah. I mean, they had chances at both ends. They were kicked off the line. Bayern hit the woodwork. You know, it was one of those games. It was 50-50. And I felt that that was really the reason that Bayern didn't get anything out of it. Those two guys,
Dortmund, you mean? Yeah, but yeah,
no, yeah, Dortmund. Sorry.
As far as Sancho is concerned, I detect he's carrying an extra poundage around the waist. You check out the pictures on social media. But Des, let's talk about Bayern here, champions in waiting. How good is Hansi Flick? I vaguely remember him as a player. He's kind of like an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer type character, yeah? Former player come in, made good.
Well, it's not quite as simple as that. He's been serving a fantastic apprenticeship as an assistant coach under Jürgen Löw, the German national team. And so he's been fairly low profile. When he came in, I recognised that name, and you're right, I remember him from, I think it was the 87 European Cup final against Porto. And he was one of those teams from that dour Bayern era of the late 80s. But he's clearly come in and he's clearly got the respect of some difficult to get respect of players. So obviously he's doing a fabulous job. And the stats, what is it? 13 wins in 15 or something? Just remarkable statistics. They're waltzing through the top of the league now. They're in the Champions League, quarterfinals, whenever, if ever, that takes off. But I just want to go back to the goal, the winning goal, and the difference a world-class goalkeeper and a near world-class goalkeeper make. So everyone's talking about the mistake from Berkey. He did brilliantly. He closes down. He does play off his line, but he's agile. He did everything right. His angles were good. His footwork was excellent. His leap was terrific. And he mucked up with the wrist work.
His
he gets to the ball
weak.
Clearly. And he's trying to spin it over the top. And he gets that wrong. So three quarters of what he did from a goalkeeping perspective, fantastic. Sadly, it ended up in the back of the net. So the one wasn't. But nobody's mentioned the save that Manuel Neuer made. Around about the 75th minute or so. It looked like as a routine, came at him and he beats it away. Behind the goal, the ball swerves and he's got a strong wrist. So the Bayern Munich wrist has won the title over the weak Dortmund wrist. So that's how I see that. And those tiny, tiny differences are what make the difference between the really, really brilliant and the not quite there. So you can talk about Haaland and then Sancho. They've got to get the ball first to be able to do anything with it. But I thought that goalkeeper kind of just epitomises the whole difference between Bayern, who are just magnificent and technically superb in everything they do, and Hansi Flick has probably taken them on a little bit above where they were with Kovac, but great players all the same. And the Dortmund players who are nearly, but not quite world-class.
Brilliant, brilliant. More on De Classica right after this very short break.
Worth a try, and he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Deserved a goal, that. Love the return pass, just wide.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Bob Holmes, Des Colkill, and Rhys Roshan-Rye from Fox Sports joining us. We're still talking about De Classica. Now, before we leave off this, I want to come to you for this, Roshan. Alphonse Davies, what an absolute start. He had a superb game. He was unstoppable. He had all the dribbles. He had everything. Unlucky yellow card, but this is a superstar in the making.
Absolutely right. And when you think about the fact that he had to play left wing, he had to play left back, that entire left-hand side was all his because Serge Gnabry was given license to roam into those central positions. Look, he's 19 years of age and he's come from the MLS, Vancouver Whitecaps, where he was more of an attacking player. He's come into Bayern, he's had to learn a different role playing at left back. So that bit, that aspect has been impressive. And he's got wonderful recovery pace. But what he's got to sort of develop is his positioning and his defending in 1v1 situations, which I'm sure will come. But it looks really impressive right now. But when you actually analyze his game in closer detail, you'll see that he often gets sort of caught out behind opposition wingers, or in front of opposition wingers, rather. But his recovery pace is so good that he's able to just get himself back into situations where he can get the ball away from dangerous areas.
He's great to watch. Superb stuff. All right, then. Bayern are, well, probably two wins away from wrapping up their yet another Bundesliga title. Let's talk about some of the also-rans. Probably the shock from Saturday was Leverkusen 1, Wolfsburg 4. I caught just the goals for this. Let's come to you first, Roshan. This was a shock of the first midweek round.
In terms of the scoreline, yes. And in terms of the form that Leverkusen have actually been in, probably you'd say, yeah, it was a big shock. But Wolfsburg have actually been one of the, I think, underrated sides in the Bundesliga this season. They've got a very good coach in there, in Glasner, who actually goes under the radar a little bit. He looks like a little bit like an accountant, so maybe that's why. You know, he doesn't get up onto the touchline and you know, he's not very Jurgen Kloppish in his demeanor on the touchline. He's on his bench, in his dugout, but he's very good at getting the best out of that, out of his squad. And what he's built there is a very impressive side that struggles to get goals at times, yes, but defensively, they're absolutely sound. And I mean, that game against Leverkusen, they blew them apart. And when you actually, again, you break it down, yeah, you look at the level of detail. Des made a good, great point about the level of detail. Where they really hurt Leverkusen was in those set-piece situations. You see a player standing in an offside position initially, coming back, just blocks off a runner, blocks off the marker, and then you've got someone else, like Pongracic, for example,
yeah,
heading in a couple of goals because of the free space that was created for him.
Des, what do you think about all the... I don't want to call them also-rans, but they are all also-rans compared to Bayern Munich. Leverkusen, I actually had big hopes for them this season. They're my next favourite kind of team.
Well, obviously, everyone keeps half an eye or more than half an eye on what Leipzig are doing. Being of a certain yeah age, I've got a fondness for Borussia Mönchengladbach. Borussia Dortmund are obviously there as well. But I tell you what, just going on to this Leverkusen game, this was no shock. Hadaschke, the Leverkusen goalkeeper, prevented this being much more than a 4-1. It could have been 8 or 9 if he made several one-on-one blocks, which were quite astounding. So it's a good, solid league. The problem is you've got one team who've got those quality players just at the very top. In many ways, you want Bayern Munich out there. You want this Super League to happen and get rid of Bayern Munich. And then this German league becomes really competitive. You don't want Bayern Munich. You don't want a Super League, by the way. That's me being satirical. But you need that kind of... You want these super clubs to disappear because it's the super clubs who are not ruining it because they're wonderful to watch and they set a standard. But this is a really good league. And what you're seeing is the likes of Wolfsburg and Dortmund and Leipzig. We're not talking about them in the way that we should be, as they're being very, very good teams. But we're talking about them as being not quite good enough. And that's not really fair on them. They are very good teams in their own right. It's a good league, is the Bundesliga.
It is. And I think it's getting a lot of exposure now than it would never have done before. Bob will remember Borussia Mönchengladbach from the days of yonder. They were a massive name back in the day, weren't they? I mean, now they're into the top four with a 0-0 draw with Werder Bremen on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning.
Yeah. They had some titanic tussles with Liverpool, I remember. And of course, the name back then, the name tickled everybody. Borussia Mönchengladbach. I mean, there were even posters done about Mönchengladbach and stuff on the Kop. So they've been in the doldrums for a while. It's good to see a bit of a revival there. But I'd just like to ask Des what he made of the cardboard cutouts. If he didn't like the piped-in music. Des, you didn't have your face up there, did you, by any chance?
Listen, I think...
Fans did, you know.
I think the football is a wonderful enough sport for it to be able to stand on its own merits. You don't need these falsehoods. You don't need these piped-in crowds. Heck, it was ridiculous. Tell you what, what's going to happen is it's going to become abused because you'll certainly have a penalty for an away side and a big klaxon will go off as he does it. And when it happens, everyone, oh, it's okay, it's only football. But it's not. It's fundamentally cheating and it's taking the fairness out of what sports should be. And all this artificial garbage, you don't need it because the football, the wonderful yeah sport that we have followed for over a century, Bob, in your case, that's maybe realistic.
Even longer.
half a century for me. it doesn't need these falsehoods. It doesn't need these yeah things. I get apoplectic yeah that it's introduced in such a way. So it then becomes normal. And it's not normal. It's ridiculous.
I think it's just temporary. It's just to lighten the mood during this COVID crisis, isn't it? No one's going to do all that when proper football starts.
Hey, Bob, they say Arsenal have been doing it anyway. when their crowds are down, they say that there's pipe music going into the Emirates. So that is fundamentally creating a false atmosphere.
And
don't need it.
And also, haven't they been having like plastic cutout fans at the Etihad? I heard.
They've got plastic cutout players too.
Oh, all right. No, back to the midweek
and football. In Seoul, they've definitely got plastic cutouts.
All right. Well, no, sensible heads back on. Roshan, Eintracht Frankfurt ended a run of 5 successive Bundesliga defeats. They rallied late. It was a 3-3 draw with Freiburg. Good fun to watch. But these are the strugglers. But for me, having been starved of football for so long, it was a godsend.
It was a great game. Plenty of drama, wonderful entertainment. And the thing is, like you said earlier, people normally wouldn't be watching much of the Bundesliga. And I'm glad they are now. I'm glad there's sort of a little bit of a blackout in terms of the other sort of leagues. And they're seeing how exciting it sort of can be. Yeah. And that's actually what you sort of get most weekends. You get lots of goals in the Bundesliga because of how attacking it can be in terms of the tactical side of the game. But again, Frankfurt have been struggling a little bit under Adi Hütter this season. And it's been tough for them. You know, they've not had a sort of full-strength squad to really sort of pick from. But I haven't actually had my say on the whole fan cardboard cutout and audio sound piped in. Because I realize that I'm bringing the average age down of this panel quite a bit. So I'm going to have... I'm going to have my say very quickly. I'm with Des here, actually, because when I'm watching the game, my focus is on the football. And for me, that's what we sort of fall in love with, the game itself. And I know different people have different sort of experiences. They like the atmosphere around it. And maybe for the viewer at home, it helps the whole spectacle. But from a TV perspective, watching the game on television now, it's great that I get a close-up of the pitch or even a wider shot of just the pitch. There's no more cuts into the crowd at crucial moments. Yeah. That's something that really annoys me because you'll have your notes down, you'll be looking at something exciting possibly happening, and then it cuts to some guy in the crowd having a pint of beer. So I've actually really, really enjoyed the fact that it's been held in that sort of empty stadium. You can just focus on the football. And the other thing I'd bring up is the fake noise. I wonder if it's actually disrespectful to the match-going fans who normally be there making that sort of atmosphere. And you know, I wonder if it's sort of saying to TV companies that, hey, look, we could carry on without the fans anyway. I mean, is that something to think about? Is that something to talk about?
Brilliant, brilliant. And that is where we're going for a short break. Stay with us. More Bundesliga talk when we return.
What about that clearance off the line? How important did that turn out to be in the end?
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
It is a fine goal. Fine header, fine goal.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. On the ball, the very last on the ball. Well, last Friday show of the season. We'll keep the Monday shows going until the football season actually ends. But last Friday show of the season, Des Corkill, Bob Holmes and Rhys Roshan Rai from Singapore joining us today from their own homes. I was going to say our own home. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on social media. It's BFM Football on Instagram and on Facebook as well. We're talking about the Bundesliga and everybody's favorite team to hate, I suppose, is Leipzig. I know in Germany, there's a fever and hatred for the club. Is that Roshan? Is that because they call Red Bull Leipzig?
Yeah, because they feel they're sort of getting around the 50+1 ruling that they have over in the Bundesliga. They feel it's a corporation that's come in and, you know, taken over clubs, not just in Germany, but several clubs around the world as well. So, you know, there's fan culture in Germany is completely different to what you'd have in the Premier League, for example, you know, with that 50+1 ruling over there. But Leipzig, what I would say about them is, for me, being all the way over here, detached from it all, I'd say Leipzig actually have been very refreshing to sort of watch.
Absolutely.
And their approach as a club, in terms of their strategy, in terms of players that they sign, look, they're not going out and they're not doing a Manchester City, for example. They're not splashing the cash on a Robert Lewandowski. You know, they're going out, they brought in Timo Werner from Stuttgart all those years ago, brought him in, developed his game, for example. So they're looking around and getting the next sort of generation of talent to come in. And I've got a lot of time for that. You know, they give them game time, they develop their game, and they're playing some wonderful football under Hasan Hüttl initially.
Yeah.
And then you had Rangnick stepping in for a while with them. And then now you've got Julian Nagelsmann, who's a wonderful young coach who's got a great career ahead of him.
Now, they did slip up, Des, in this game. It was their chance to go second over Dortmund. It was 2-2 against Hertha, but Timo Werner, let's stick with him. He's hot property in football right now. And if you believe the gossip columns that you read every day, he's Liverpool bound, isn't he? Jürgen's picked up the phone and said, "Oi, Timo, I want you over here."
Jürgen hasn't quite got the Scouts accent yet. It's coming. But I understand that with the current financial situation, Liverpool aren't prepared to pay over a certain figure for Timo Werner. But Leipzig are becoming the Southampton of German football to Liverpool. In all their best players will be making their way over to Anfield, and Werner's he's a wonderful, wonderful talent. But all over the pitch, they've been really good to watch. From a Liverpool point of view, which is how I kind of watch these things, I've been delighted that Gulashi, a goalkeeper who was a young lad at Liverpool, is doing very well, and he's developed into a top-class goalkeeper. We obviously keep an eye on Timo Werner. And I was looking at this game and referees and cheap free kicks, cheap red cards. There were a lot of cheap red cards in the Bundesliga, I thought, or two cheap red cards in the Bundesliga at the weekend. And this one, Hastenberg, was one of them. Yes, it was a foul. I didn't see any real intent. It was a little bit lazy. It was a foot left in. But the way an automatic yellow card is given for anything perceived to be not a good tackle is, to me, just something that's come in over the last decade or so. Mm. And it's one of those things that when we first started, we're going, "That's never a yellow card. What referee, what you on about?" And now everyone kind of just accepts it. Oh, we'll go down to 10 men and we'll adopt it. And it's one of those things that when it crept in, I knew it would cause a problem, because a really good game of football here in this Leipzig 2-2, even though they went on to lead 2-1 and drew it, blew it in the end. But a really good game against an improving Hertha Berlin was, I feel, rather spoiled by a very, very cheap red card.
Yeah. Bob, let's not do disservice to Hertha here. They're very good this season. And in their ranks, they strength and depth, they brought on Piatek, who we talked about last season as one of the most sought-after players in European football. I mean, good player, good team.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget Grujic.
Yeah,
Jürgen Klopp's first signing, actually, rather under the radar. In his, he came in October and only made one signing in the January transfer window that year. It was Grujic. And 90% of his time has been spent out on loan. But there's now talk that, because he seems to be getting better, that they might actually bring him back. So he scored a goal. That didn't harm his cause. So it's ironic that from a Liverpool perspective, the Werner, who looked nailed on to go there, now seems less likely. And Grujic, who's always been available for anybody who will take him, looks as if he might get a chance. Different positions, obviously, but this is how it goes, and it emphasizes my point about this being what's coming in the Premier League. Anyway, it's like a new season, it's like a new start. It's not really the continuation of last season. Statistically, of course, it is, but the feel will be completely different. Guys that you've forgotten about, who were injured long term, have now recovered and will be back. So you will see forgotten faces. And I think that there could be some strange results when it starts again. So this is all part of it, isn't it? And then where do we go with next season? Well, you know, that's on the back burner at the moment, but I can't see it starting on time. No, it's been very good for the rest of Europe to have a look at the German experiment with behind closed doors football. Mm. And they couldn't have picked anybody better than the Germans to do it, because you know it's going to be done efficiently.
Yeah.
So everybody else can learn from this and hopefully not make any mistakes, or not make many, and, you know, get it going, get the whole seasons going, Italian league, Spanish league, back to some sort of normality. That's what we're all hoping for anyway. So it's the Germans that have done it, and thanks to their government basically getting their act together over the virus before other people.
Let's not start on the British government and unsolicited drives.
We'd never finish.
No, let's bring in Roshan here. I'm going to ask you this straight, Roshan. Well, assuming Bayern's run away with it, which they're going to, two more wins, who for you is going to win the shootout for second? Dortmund or Leipzig?
I think it's going to be Borussia Dortmund. I think they've got a relatively easier sort of run of fixtures, if I'm looking at it right. And I think Dortmund have sort of got that little bit more of experience in there to finish second. So I'm going to go with Borussia Dortmund. They do hold a two-point lead over Leipzig at the moment. So I'm going to go with Dortmund to finish second and to be the other winners of the Bundesliga.
Okay. And okay, some of the other games then. Hoffenheim on the fringes of a European place. They celebrated a 3-1 win over Cologne. Dusseldorf beat Schalke 2-1. Actually, we kind of touched on Schalke on Monday's show. David Wagner, we all know David Wagner really well from his EPL days. He's not had a good time since coronavirus. I've seen them play, twice now, three times? They've lost every game. They look quite dire.
They do. But if I can go on to Cologne game, I made the point about the cheap red cards. It was the Cologne game I was particularly thinking of, and that the centre-back Bornau puts in a very clumsy challenge. Yeah. It is a clumsy challenge. And the referee overrules himself, gives him a yellow card first, had a clear look at it, then goes to VAR, brings in VAR and decides it's a red card. And I just don't see it.
Correct decision. Absolutely correct decision.
And that's why we need VAR. I just didn't see any intent there. I saw a clumsy challenge, but I saw no real intent. I played in games where centre backs have gone through the calves of centre forwards and they've done it deliberately. There was no way this was deliberate. It was clumsy. But this is where I'm wanting to regress 10 years, but you're not allowed to regress because progress is always good, I'm told. But this is just one of the progressions that I feel too many cheap red cards in the current climate. Roche, absolutely agree with you. In my day, you get a talking to. And I feel somewhere in between the two, there's a proper balance for football.
Mm. All right, then. I tell you what, we're going for a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the Bundesliga, tell you what's happening this weekend in Germany, in Korea, and Des will give us a quick update on Malaysian football. Stay tuned.
Fine save by the goalkeeper, spreading himself.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
He cannot win a title without an outstanding goalkeeper, and he's been absolutely brilliant.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. On the ball, in isolation, our very last Friday show of the season. We'll still run the Monday shows and watch our Facebook page. Follow us on Facebook. We've got a surprise coming up. It's BFM Football on Facebook and on Instagram as well. Bob Holmes, Des Corkill, and Rhys Roshan Rai joining us this week. Just to wrap up the Bundesliga talk, then come to you, Roshan. Hoffenheim, fringes of a European place. They had a 3-1 win over Cologne. Mainz ended a run of 40 games without a goal, which is terrible. They drew the Berlin. Some of the other games taking place, you keep an eye on all those as well, apart from the big games?
Yeah, of course. We look at all the games. We cover all the games through the weekend. And we've got a rap show, actually, to have a look at all the highlights, all the goals after the main game that we actually cover. And then we build in towards the late matches as well. So we're always looking out for some of these other teams as well. I mean, you spoke about Hertha Berlin. And Bruno Labbadia coming in has completely turned it around. Huge credit to him. He's got previous as well. He's known as a little bit of a firefighter sort of manager, rescuing Stuttgart from relegation, Wolfsburg as well, Hamburg. in years gone by. So, you know, he's come in, he's turned it around for them. And Hertha Berlin's actually a very interesting story. You know, it's a side that has actually been taken over. They've got new investment that's come in at the start of the season. So it's taken a little bit of time to sort of get their strategy together. But they've been signing players here and there, looking to strengthen the squad. And they want to make themselves, they want to make the city of Berlin big in European football. They want to get themselves into the Champions League. So keep an eye out on them. Hopefully they've got a good plan going forward. And then Wolfsburg, as I mentioned earlier, one of the underrated sides in the league. And then you've got Freiburg, who are normally quite happy to fight off relegation, having a wonderful season under Christian Streich, who's one of the longest serving managers in the Bundesliga. So when you look through this league, lots of interesting storylines, lots of plots, nice little plot lines in there. Even Paderborn at the bottom of the table, they are at the bottom. They're struggling with quality, but they fight like hell every weekend. And if you look back at the results, they don't get hammered at all. And they, you know, they put themselves about. So, you know, you've got Bremen struggling, and it's a traditionally one of the biggest clubs in the Bundesliga. So I could go on and on, Ross, but I'm just going to leave it right now. I'm just going to wrap it up with that.
No, you're spot on there. Paderborn bottom, useful point, draw with Augsburg this weekend. Just to take a look at some of the weekend's fixtures in the Bundesliga. There's a Friday night game, so fresh from your, I was going to say going out, but no, your Netflix binge on Friday night, you can actually tune in to the game at 2:30 in the morning. Freiburg taking on Bayer Leverkusen early Saturday morning. Then you've got all the early kickoffs. You've got Wolfsburg, Frankfurt, Hertha, Augsburg, Mainz, Hoffenheim, Schalke versus Werder Bremen. Which one are you working on, Roshan, on Saturday?
Well, all of them, to be honest. Like I said, we're going to be keeping an eye out on all of them. I think Wolfsburg, Eintracht Frankfurt will be pretty fascinating. And then Schalke against Bremen. Bremen desperately need the points. But then so does Schalke. David Wagner's under lots of pressure over there at the moment.
Mm. And the Bayern machine, that happens late game on Saturday. They host Dusseldorf. That should mean one more win away from the title then, Des.
Yeah, but an important game for Fortuna Dusseldorf, because they're right down at the bottom as well. They're one of the big names in German football who fell on poor times. You do want big clubs in your top league because it does help. Dusseldorf, I think, won a European trophy, if I'm not wrong, in the 40, 50 years or so ago. So they were a big name. So they can't afford, really, to lose, because Mainz are a point ahead of them. Eintracht Frankfurt, 2 points ahead of them with the game in hand. At the moment, they're in the relegation playoff place. In Germany, there's two relegation slots and a playoff against the Bundesliga 2. Are they keeping that on? I think they probably are. And Dusseldorf are in that third from bottom slot. But if Werder Bremen get on a run, there are 6 games left. There's still 18 points to play for. So there's still plenty of time. Well, not plenty of time. There's still time for a team to go on a run and get 3 or 4 wins and get themselves out of danger. So for Dusseldorf, they've really got to be up for the game against Bayern Munich. I hope they don't throw the towel in and say, listen, we've got 5 more games after this. But that doesn't seem to be the German way, Rosh.
No. Some of the other games at the weekend, Hertha Berlin against Augsburg should be a good watch. Schalke against Werder Bremen. Bob, can Wagner get something, get 1 point post-corona?
Wagner is a very good manager, as everybody in Huddersfield and the Premier League, I think, will acknowledge. I mean, this is only a blip. I mean, you say he hasn't done anything since January. Well, there's only been about 3 games since January.
Yes.
I mean, this is not, you know, he's not about to get sacked. Well, I sincerely hope not. I mean, this is Jurgen Klopp Mark II. Wagner, I mean, he did a fantastic job at Huddersfield. I mean, to take them into the Premier League and get them to stay there for a season was a fantastic job. No money. I mean, he did it just on his personality and tactical nous. I mean, you know, I'm not surprised that he got a big job. Schalke is a big job. I mean, he's lost 2 or 3 games. No need to panic. This guy is a top draw, and I'm sure he will come through. He will steer Schalke to safety. They're not really in danger. They're just lower middle table.
All right. So he's okay.
He's a top guy.
David Wagner, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I really am. Before we leave off German football entirely, a lot of talk about Jadon Sancho. Now, we've seen Jadon Sancho post-corona. He's come back. He's not really affected games. Do you think he's superstar standard already? They're talking about Manchester United, and they're talking about big money moves. Come to you first, Roshan. You've seen him a lot in the Bundesliga. Is he that standard?
Oh, he's a sure thing. And when you look at people like Sancho, when you look at people like Kai Havertz, you know, normally clubs are reluctant to pay over the odds for younger players like that because it's always a bit of a gamble. But these guys are sure things. They're going to be the next generation of superstar players, obviously add Kylian Mbappe into that list as well. But yeah, look, Sancho, look at some of the numbers that he's been putting up. And when you look at his assists, what is it, 30 assists over the last couple of seasons, that's the highest in the top five leagues in Europe. That's better than the likes of Lionel Messi. So, you know, this guy is a kid who has developed his game year on year. First of all, made a really good move to Borussia Dortmund to get regular game time away from Manchester City, and then developed his game. You know, he's a lot quicker now. He's built up his body as well. His acceleration has improved. His awareness of how to use the ball, his ball usage has improved a lot as well. So, yeah, you know, I really put him up there. And in fact, it's a bit of a surprise to me that he'd be considering a move to Man United at the moment.
we'll save that for another show, right? That's German football done. Very quickly, in the K-League, there's already been a game this evening. We won't spoil it for you. Daeju and Sungju played. And yeah, you might want to watch it. So the top two are away from home this weekend. Jeonbuk Motors are away at Gwangwon. And you've got second, Ulsan. They are away at Gwangju. So, yeah, that's your K-League done. I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about it.
Instead, well, Jeonbuk could be in for a big jump because they're playing at the Ski Slope Stadium in Gangwon. That's a fascinating stadium for those who've not been there. It's at the bottom of a ski jump, and you can literally, in the winter season, it's a three-sided stadium, and the football club's right at the bottom. So Jeonbuk will be the first big club, really big club, to play there.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Sticking with you, Des, what's the update on Malaysian football? How are we getting any closer to some action?
I believe teams are starting to consider getting back into training. Again, we are utterly dependent, with my MFL hat on here, utterly dependent on what the government advice tells us to. At the moment, there is a request for us to try and restart the season in September. For a shortened season, a shortened one-off league to take us up to 11 games. We're on match day 4 already, so there'll be 7 games, but there's one other game outstanding between PJ City and Terengganu, so they would have 8 games. And then there'll be a shortened Malaysia Cup. So at the moment, all the planning, all my broadcast planning is based around about that eventuality. But as the COVID situation seems to be really stable in Malaysia, you never know, things might change. The government is looking at the situation at every time. And there's been one or two deputations to say, hey, look at the sport industry. The sport industry is really, really suffering. Yeah. Not only football, but gyms and other sports can be a lifeblood. So there is no formal news. We are hoping that September is good. The clubs, though, are gearing onto it. But what it'll mean is they've got a 10-week pre-season if they come back in June. If they're fit, they should be as fit as ever. And if I get the excuse that playing 7 games in 4 weeks is too much for players with 10 weeks pre-season, I will go bonkers.
Des, you gotta get the piped in crowd noise in there somehow. Come on, Des.
And the cardboard fans.
Yeah, that's right.
Brilliant stuff. Right.
The football stands for itself. If the sport doesn't stand for itself, then it shouldn't be part of our weekly entertainment. It stood the test of time.
Well said, Des Corkill. Right, that's it. On that note, we are going to bid you farewell and a good weekend. Roshan, thank you so much for joining us. Stunning debut, sir. Hope to have you
thank
back
you
for more.
Yeah, love to be back for more. Thank you, guys. It was an enjoyable chat. Love chatting with all of you.
Bob Holmes, thanks a lot. Steady as usual.
Well, yes. Where's my gold watch, though, Ross? This is 10 years.
Yeah, moving along. Des Corkill, have a great weekend, Des.
We'll do banned VAR, banned crown sounds, banned plastic dolls in stadia, and have a wonderful time. It's been great being on the BFM show. Congratulations to you, Ross, for running this Friday night show. Hopefully, you're back in the near future, but a great job by you as well.
Thank you so much. And thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening. Stay safe over the weekend. Bye-bye.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is.
Follow BFM Football on Facebook and catch On the Ball next Friday on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.